What's the weather like in lovely New York this morning?
It's actually beautiful. I feel like I don't want to speak too soon, but I feel like the brutality of summer might be over for this tour. So that's nice. It's like there's a breeze. It's like 70 something, kind of overcast. I'm into it.
Yeah, and by the time you get here on September 7th, by the way, at Mystic Lake Amphitheater, it's going to be perfect weather, man. There's nothing better than Minnesota in September.
I agree. I think it's one of the most beautiful places going. Yeah, and that's a great time. So I'm psyched.
Yeah, great city for you, right? I mean, a great area for you. Matt Nathanson has been a big name, thanks to Cities 97 and other stations like that here in the Twin Cities for quite some time.
Yeah, it's always been, I mean, as you know, Minneapolis is like one of the best music cities in the universe. Like, you know, you've got Prince, The Replacements, you know, Husker Du. Mm. It just keeps going. And so ever since I started playing, I remember there was a place called, it was Prince's club called Glam Slam.
Glam Slam.
And upstairs there was a little venue upstairs that I used to play every couple months and just built this following up there. And it was fantastic. And ever since, and First Ave and all that stuff. Yeah, it's one of the best.
Again, Matt Nathanson is my guest, and he's coming to the Mystic Lake Amphitheater, Prior Lake, of course. That's OAR and Matt Nathanson, Friday, September 7th of 2018. It's a great amphitheater out there, man. They always pack that place. And, of course, this tour for you with OAR has been going on for a while. I would guess this is the perfect combination of artists. Am I correct in that?
It's pretty fun. We've known each other since we were, I've been touring with on and off with OAR since like early 2000s, 2001, 2002. And so it's rad to be able to get back out and do it. And they're great. And they put on a great show. And it's nice to be out with friends. You know, you tour and sometimes you're out with people who, musicians aren't the, we're definitely a self-focused group. So it's never like the unity that you would hope when you go out with somebody. But it's when I go out with a band like OAR, we've been friends for so long. That it's just like summer camp. It's awesome. We get to hang out and play music together. It's a blast.
You know what? That's so true. And first of all, I'll give you a little bit of background here. You might not remember her, but my wife is Laura McLeish, who ran Cities 97 forever.
Oh my God, yeah.
Yeah, that's my wife, man. That's why. So I know a lot about you. I've been a fan of yours for a long time. We've met a couple of times. I don't expect you at all to remember that. But she obviously has been a fan of yours and supported you for a very, very long time. For the people, I'm sorry.
Cities was, I mean, like your wife is single-handedly the reason I think that Minneapolis, like, played my records. I mean, Cities was, I don't want to gush too much, but Cities is like an institution, you know what I mean? And we used to go and do Studio C's there and used to do, you know, the Christmas shows and all that stuff. And it was just like, there's a fervent group of people committed. In a lot of towns, radio stations kind of lose their groove, but your wife built this incredible station. Like, what an incredible, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Oh my God, I had no idea.
Yeah,
that's
thanks for
fantastic.
Saying that. I appreciate that. You know, she, just through the structure of things and how radio and the music business is, she wasn't at Cities for a long time. They let her go after like 19 years, but now, like 2 weeks ago, they got back together, and as of last, 2 days ago now, she's back at Cities 97 and refocusing the radio station. And on the way to work this morning, when I was coming to do my morning show, I was listening to Cities 97, and there was Matt Nathanson.
Oh, I love it. Oh, yeah. My God. That is fantastic. Yeah, it's funny. Radio's a weird trip, you know, like people, you build these relationships, and then people move on to other places, and they think the station needs to do something else, and inevitably, what people want is community. You know what I mean? They want connection through the radio. And oh my God, your wife is the queen of that. That's fantastic.
Dude, she'll be so happy to hear that. Thank you for saying that. I will literally make an MP3 of this and play it for her. So thank you for that. I appreciate it. That's really cool.
Awesome.
Again, don't forget, he's coming out. And that's just going to be a great show. And you'll love that amphitheater. It's a big old stage and a great opportunity for people to come outside on a September night at the very beginning of football season and get things started. So you're on a great tour, but you've also got a brand new record about to come out. It's a pre-order situation, right? Like, people could go on mattnathanson.com right now and pre-order your new record. Is that right?
Yeah, totally. And we're doing this weird new, like, the thing where we're releasing a couple songs, like a song a month leading up to the release in October. And so it's been kind of fun to sort of start dropping these little breadcrumbs as we go and seeing how people have been reacting to it. Yeah, but the record itself comes out October 5th, so you can pre-order it now and listen to a bunch of songs now. It's great.
Tell me, I'm sorry, go ahead.
It's funny that you say football, because I know that you're this is sports and on all that stuff. And I was said, I'm fairly sports illiterate, right? And I was on stage last night in Philadelphia, and I had no idea that the Philadelphia Eagles were, or that they won the Super Bowl.
Right.
I got to tell you, I need some friends. I need some friends in sports, and I need a little pointer before I walk on stage. And I was like, I said something about sports, and the place erupted and started cheering. And I was like, what happened? And they were like, Eagles. And I was like, well, I hope your team did well.
Oh, my gosh.
Totally clueless. It was amazing.
I got to tell you, man, they beat us in the NFC Championship game to go to the Super Bowl, and then they won the Super Bowl. And I also work for the Vikings, so to be on the team bus leaving the stadium, having them still hating us after they just beat us, that's one of the most... I'm glad you got out of there alive last night. That's what I'm going to tell you, man. I'm glad you made it last night.
It was animal. They were animal. They erupted, and I was like, wow. I said, you go. I don't know anything about what you're talking about, but good luck.
I tell you, it was, that's something, that's a hell of a sports city. Again, I don't want to keep you all day, and I know you got other things going on, and the best thing for a voice is sleep and not talking, so I'm going to keep you from that today as much as I can. But can you just tell me a little bit, from your artist's point of view, how the music industry has changed since your first record, your first big hit, you're breaking through to this moment where you're talking about, like you're saying, releasing a track a month until the whole record comes out. Can you encapsulate that for me somehow?
Yeah. So the music business, like the taxi industry, like the way that things have shifted, it's pretty much a 180 from where it was when I put out that record in 2007. And like anything, there's this sort of constant evolution happening on the business end. So people still love music and they still connect to it, and that's really the lifeblood of it. But the way that people get their music and the gatekeepers that used to be in the way of people getting their music or people making music, things have really shifted in a cool way. And like anything, there's good and bad about it, right? If you want to find music now, you have to really search for it. You don't really have very many people. And that's why cities is so important, because a lot of people need someone to help guide them through the sort of thicket of music. But what's great about it is now that it's at your fingertips and anybody can access anything at any time. And things that used to take on this kind of mythical thing as a music fan, I can pull up on my phone and listen as I go for a walk. And so as a consumer of music, and as someone who creates music, instead of having to spend thousands of dollars a day in a studio, we can set up in the dressing room and throw up a mic and do the computer, and I can track a song. So for me, on both a creative and a consumer level, I love it. I think it's just super freeing and kind of wild westy, kind of wide open. And you're getting access to things that you used to have to sort of get in your car, drive to the store, buy the record, and wrestle with the record all the way through. Here now you can just sort of, if somebody puts out a song, you can listen to it and immediately kind of experience it. So I'm down with the change for sure.
Now, that's great. I'm so glad to hear you say that, because I've heard the opposite so often, it's cool to hear somebody say, tell me the good side of it first. So often you ask somebody and you get the negative side, and then they tell you, but you get this, you get that as well. So what would you say if somebody was starting out and they were playing the music that came from their heart, came from their head, that they loved, and they were going to try to, quote-unquote, make it in the music business, what would be the first sentence out of your mouth to somebody if you were going to advise them?
So it's funny. I think that the creating of the music, the creation hasn't changed. It's all about the artist has to come from their own perspective, and they have to have their own unique view of things, right? You can't kind of chase. You can never chase what's happening in the world, because the thing that makes you unique is the thing that will draw people to you. And so it's all about kind of timing, but it's all about patience. It's all about just sort of making things and creating and like working that muscle out. And the idea being that you want to be able to course correct based on people a little bit, course correct where if the audience really responds to something, think about, well, why they respond to that, that's pretty neat. And maybe, course correct based on that. But really it's about you and it's about your songs. It's about your art. It's about getting what's in you out and making it as as you as you can. And that's really what makes it sticky for people. You know what I mean? That's what brings people in. And so the industry itself has shifted so dramatically. But by the way, I might add that I still go to places like Electric Fetus every time I'm in, you know, when there's a great record store, I'm a sucker for buying vinyl. I'm there. But it's fascinating. So the industry has changed, but it's really the art has stayed the same. It's about what connects with humans. And the only thing that really connects is not making things that feel like somebody else, but making things that feel like you, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. And again, the one thing you said there that I think speaks the most is you got it inside you. You got to get it out. Whether a million people buy a record or 100 people hear it in a coffee shop, it's not about that. It's about getting the music out, right?
Totally. It's like, and it's funny because we all get caught up in, especially now, in this time where likes are so important and people's feedback feels so real and so important. But like, everybody's just seeing things through their own lens. And so it's really important that you put out what's inside you, because the world needs as many unique voices as we can have. And we're all unique. We all have our own slant on the universe, and we all see things a certain way. Even people that don't think they're artists can do that. And so it's like, the more you can feel empowered to just create, and the more you can feel empowered to just put it out into the universe, like, man, humans gravitate towards things that like move them. And even like you said, even if it's 10 people or 10,000 people, it's like, it's all about you and your journey. It's not about their feedback.
That's fantastic. Again, Matt Nathanson, and we'll make sure you get all the info. And we'll put up, by the way, on KFAN.com, the ticket information, so you can make sure you get out to see Matt with OAR at Mystic Lake Amphitheater coming up here in September. Do you have a couple more minutes? Are we okay?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay, cool. I just want to make sure I don't want to keep you too long. So I'm gonna ask you some kind of random questions that are going to jump all over the place. But while I got you, I might as well ask these questions I've been wanting to ask for a long time. And also,
totally,
just questions I like to ask songwriters anyway. First of all, who's responsible for you becoming Matt Nathanson? In other words, who gave you your first guitar or made you go to piano lessons or told you you could sing?
Yeah. So when I was a kid, I always related to music more than I related to humans. I always joke that I liked music more than I liked people. And so for me, growing up, albums saved my life. Like when I put on Def Leppard Pyromania in 1983, or I put on Back in Black in 1980, Kiss, you know, those records like made me feel connected. And so I was always on a path to do that. So as soon as I was able to take guitar lessons, I did, and my mother was always super supportive of it. My grandfather was a musician, and so my mother would always kind of say, I'd say, I'd like to get a guitar, and I'd like to take lessons. She was always like, of course, let's do this. So she was super supportive like that, and really, it was, I just knew early on that that was how I wanted to spend my time, was because music, I used to live, I still do, I live with my headphones on. I live in the world of music. So, yeah, as a kid, as soon as I could learn how to play, you know, Talk Dirty to Me by Poison, I was in.
Yeah. We're the same age almost, so I can go ahead and say it. The music that shaped me, as I have gotten older, I realized that some of it was pretty silly. Don't get me wrong. I know that. And I know, but it doesn't mean I love it any less, if you know what I mean. Do you find yourself feeling the same way?
1,000%. I always say that I don't have any guilty pleasures. Yeah. I only really do pleasure, right? I only do things that move me. And, you know, when you put on Destroyer, or, you know, if you analyze something from the perspective of like how you are seeing things now as an adult, right, you can totally see the silliness in all of it. But when you're a kid and you heard that, it felt so important and so essential that it's like, I try hard not to overanalyze it too much. And I just try and dig it, you know, when I listen to it now. And I still listen to a whole lot of hair metal now.
Yeah, right. Matt, do you have a moment that sticks out in your head as the moment you looked around yourself, whether you're in a car listening to yourself on the radio or on stage looking at a giant crowd? Did you have a moment where you said, my gosh, I made it?
It's funny. I had a moment where I was like, I've never felt like I made it. But I had a moment, I remember in Des Moines, Iowa, they have this stage set up on the river, and I was doing a summer show for a radio station there. And I remember playing Come On Get Higher, which at the time had just come out, and hearing the entire lawn. And I'd been touring for 10 years before that, but I'd never had this group of people that I always felt like I knew my audience. And here I was in Des Moines playing to a bunch of people who I didn't feel like I knew. and they were all singing back to me these lines that I'd written. And it was a pretty magical moment. I remember turning to my guitar player, Aaron, and saying, like, dude, that I'd like more of that. That's an incredible feeling.
Wow.
And so that was kind of the moment where I was like, wow, there's some momentum happening outside of me, you know?
Can I, if you don't mind, I try not to do this during the interviews when I talk to music to people, because I don't want it to be about me. I want it to be about you. But I want you to know, I played that stage for the first time a month ago. I opened for the Nadas. I'd never been to Des Moines, and I opened for the Nadas on that stage. It's one of the best gigs of the last 10 years for me. I freaking loved that night.
That's so great that you did. I mean, it's a magical spot, isn't it? Like, you're right on the river. Even if it's hot, you sort of get this nice breeze moving through. Oh, that's awesome that you played that.
And people had never heard my music before. I play my own songs. Nobody had ever heard a single song that I did, and they were so nice to me. It's, again, top five show all time for me.
Dude, that's fantastic.
Yeah.
My God, that's totally it. So we are, like, totally linked on that front.
Yeah, exactly.
That they are so welcoming, and that's awesome that they dug you. That rules.
Yeah, that was fun.
Go Des Moines.
Yeah, exactly. And that's right. That's right. And it's not that far down there for me, so I'm hoping to get back again sometime. Tell me then, Matt, your first show ever overseas where you connected with an audience that maybe you couldn't even speak the language in the country you were in.
It's funny. So I've had some pretty great shows, like in France and in Germany. But the best show I've ever played in my entire life, truly, like one where I was so overwhelmed, was in London. The first time I headlined in London at a place called The Borderline, which is a pretty small place that's famous in music nerd speak, because REM played there on their Out of Time acoustic tour, and they did like their big release at The Borderline, and I'd had a bootleg of it. Well, I headlined just myself and Aaron, just the duo acoustic thing, in London. And when I tell you, everybody sang every word to every song and yelled things out and I've been putting out records since like 1993. And like, people were yelling for those songs. It was one of the greatest. I didn't touch the ground again. I felt like this incredible, because you get these, like you said about Des Moines for you and that kind of stuff. You get these moments where you feel really connected and you feel the sense of like community. And to go to a place like London that has so much history, but also musical history, and to be able to play and have it sold out in like under a minute, and all these kids were screaming the songs back to me. And it was just such a moment of like, oh my God, we are all part of the globe. Like, you know, and I it's pretty fantastic to have that feedback when it's not in your backyard.
Yeah, I mean, I probably would have bought a house there, so I don't know how you kept from doing that.
I literally never wanted to leave. If I hadn't had to go to another show, I'd still be there. I'd be eating fish and chips, hanging out.
Exactly. Friday, September 7th, 6:30, the doors open, OAR and Matt Nathanson at Mystic Lake Amphitheater. A couple of more things, and then I'll let you go, I promise. But again, you just tell me if you got to go before that, because I'll keep talking music all day long.
Dude, I love it. I love you. You're the best. Wait, so what? What? Give me, what's your record? Is your record out on, where can I get your stuff?
You know what? Here's the thing. My name is Chris, and my last name's Hockey, like the sport, but it's Hawkey. It's Hawk EY. Believe it or not, I grew up in Indiana, but my last name is Hockey, and I do a sports radio station in Minnesota, and my real last name is Hockey. So it sounds like it's made up, but it's not.
That's incredible.
I've never even laced on skates in my life, but I've been doing what I call North Country music, because it's country music, but there's so much Soul Asylum and rock and John Mellencamp to it that we call it something different. But I play all over the Upper Midwest all summer long. In fact, I literally just got back Monday or Tuesday, I should say, from Ireland. I'm doing these things now. I'm 47, so I told my band 2 years ago, we're not chasing record deals. We're not doing that. What we're going to do is chase adventures. So we go somewhere every year now different and play. And we just got back from Dublin, Ireland. I'd never been there. I played two shows. It was a madhouse and I loved it.
Dude, Ireland is another one where everybody's so unbelievably dialed into music and soul. And you know what I mean? And so when you just give it, first of all, and on a totally nerd side note, did you go to the U2 Museum in Dublin?
No, I didn't get to. I wanted to. Yeah.
Next time. I get, that's on my list. Oh, my God. Ireland is another one, just like England, just like where people are just fervently into music. Oh, that rules.
No, man. You know what? We pulled up to a place called the Auld Dubliner on Temple Bar right there. And we were we were playing on a Saturday night. I kid you not. Again, we play our own music. So we're over there with, we took some listeners over with us, some fans of the band, if you want to call them that, who bought a package to come over with us. So we had some people with us that knew our music. Other than that, everybody in the bar has never heard of us before. And when we got there, the guy who was on stage was just killing it. But he was playing Thank God I'm a Country Boy. He was just killing them with all these covers. And I literally, I put my guitar down. I walked out of the bar while he was still on stage. And I told my manager, I said, they're going to eat me alive. I mean, they're either going to, they're going to fight each other or they're going to kiss me, but they're not going to care at all about my music. And dude, I was so, I mean, literally tears in my eyes, so happy. They jumped up and down and they screamed and they had a great, they just loved it. And it was a top, another top five moment of my life there with music, man. So yeah, that's what I'm all about, dude. It's, I'm on iTunes. I got my own website. I got all that stuff, but I just travel around the upper Midwest pretending that I'm the guy I always wanted to be growing up. I do that all winter or all summer long. And then the winter I work for the Vikings. So it's a pretty darn good life.
Oh my God, I love it all. That's totally rule.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. So, speaking of pretty cool and speaking of country music, talk to me about the greatest female singer in country music, maybe in singing, period. What is it like to walk up to the microphone and sing, first of all, with the entire band Sugarland, but with that powerhouse vocalist?
Yeah, Nettles is another level, man.
Right?
She's such a good singer that I thought I was a great singer. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Like she's so good that she essentially connects and like protects you as a singer.
Wow.
And whenever we sing together, I make sure to turn her up very loud. When we tracked, we have that song Run that we tracked together, mm-hmm. and we tracked in the same room looking at each other like through this, we had this window.
Oh my goodness.
And on this like gobo in the middle of the thing. And she's one of my dearest friends as well, but as a singer, she just has such a nuance and an ability to sort of like elevate the other singer in the situation that it's like, when I tell you, it's like joy, and it's the sexiest thing too. Mm. It's like, it is just one of the greatest things to sing with somebody who's that incredible. And then at the same time, who is not like alphaing all over you. Mm. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like she's the queen.
She sings with her whole body. She's legitimately fantastic, and I'm so glad that band is back together now doing things again. I couldn't be a
so
bigger
great.
Fan. And
yeah.
Again, here I go. I apologize, but this will. I'm so glad. I believe you 100% when you say that she's one of your great friends and somebody you love, because the first country music festival I ever played, I was the opening band in Wisconsin somewhere, and the set finished, I ran off stage, and Christian and Jennifer were standing behind the stage and had watched my entire set. And it was one of the nicest things ever, because Christian actually said to me, he goes, people are going to tell you in your life that you can't do this, but you can do this. And I will never forget that as long as I live.
Christian's another one who he's just dialed in and he gets it. And he's inspiring as a human. And that kind of thing, like, him saying that to you, he meant that, and it's incredible. And he's right. It's like he believes in that so much, and it's one of the main things that's propelled Sugarland. You know what I mean? Like his optimism and his sort of faith in humans, right? In that if you just build it, they will come. And Nettles, they are really an unbelievable duo. It's a joy to be able to know them and write with them and hang out.
I can only imagine, man. One more thing for you, then I'll let you go. But again, Matt Nathanson and OAR coming to Mystic Lake Amphitheater on September 7th. It's a Friday night at 6:30. Make sure you get to that show. It's going to be fantastic. You were on Live from Daryl's House. You've done some great things, but that had to be a pinch me moment too, right?
Yeah, there's been a couple pinch me moments in my life, right? One is that I've sung with the Indigo Girls, who are like my heroes. And so to sing Michael Stipe's part, you know, Michael Stipe from REM sings on the song called Kid Fears. And whenever they're in town or if we're in the same town, they always invite me on stage and I get to sing that. So that's one of those moments where you're like, I could seriously just get hit by like a falling fuselage from a plane right now as I leave this venue. And I'm like, I'm good. I've lived my best life. And then getting to know Daryl and John both, but getting to do Daryl's house and just, cause his house his house where that was shot, which he doesn't have anymore, was just, it's like, it was this old barn. It was like they had moved it from somewhere else in Pennsylvania, and they'd reassembled it. There was no nails. They just used wood, you know, wood shims to kind of put the house back together, big copper sinks, and it was snowing the night that we were there all day. It snowed all day. So it was like this magical Daryl wonderland. And then he is one of the sweetest human beings ever. And so to get to sing those songs with him, and he and I have a friendship since then, and we, you know, he comes to shows and we sing together. It's just like, again, it's one of those things where it's nuts to be in the presence of somebody who's got a voice like that, and also who's just written songs. Both he and John have written songs that are like in our DNA.
Yeah.
And they could not have less of an ego about it. It makes it, because again, like you've met people, like you said about Christian and Jen or whatever. They're a rarity when you meet somebody who makes art that you dig, and then that they're nice. That's super rare, right? And
yeah.
And Daryl and John are those people, man. They're just super kind and super humble, and they kill it still, just murder it on stage.
Is there one, and I lied to you, let me, because you brought up the Indigo Girls, which again, one of my favorite duos of all time, and they have, there's a few songs in life for me that I swear to you, a couple of them written before I was born, I swear they were still written about my life, even though I hadn't lived it yet, if you know what I mean. And
totally.
How about the song, The Language of the Kiss by Indigo Girls?
Oh yeah, that's a great song. I love that song.
Do you have a song like that is the story of your life that you didn't write?
It's funny. I find that for songs for me, like, for example, on that same record, that's the record after, but there's a record by Indigo Girls called Rites of Passage,
mm-hmm.
and the last song on that record is a song called Cedar Tree. And for some reason, so this is a strange thing about me, is I love lyrics. I love writing lyrics. They're my favorite thing to do. But when it comes to listening to other people's music, I find that melody and their voice is what kind of moves me. And so I often have songs that have become like staple soundtrack songs to my life. And I'm not quite sure if I relate to them lyrically as much, but for some reason they like vibrate my soul. And Indigo Girls have about 5 of them or 10 of them. But like Cedar Tree is one that just always, you know, while we're on the Indigo Girls subject, that just every time I hear it, it just kind of lays me out. You know what I mean?
Yeah. 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 That's awesome. The line, begin my studies with this paper and this pencil, and I'm working through the grammar of my fears, is maybe the best line ever written.
My God. Emily's the best at those lines.
Oh,
right?
So good.
She kills. I mean, the Closer to Fine lyrics are so unbelievable.
Yeah.
Like, or You and Me of the 10,000 Wars. The Indigo, like, that's what's so great about the Indigo Girls, is that Emily and Amy are sort of these two sides of the same human, right? Like, there's sort of the soul, gut, like reactionary person who's Amy, and then you have the more intellectual, sort of stunning, like, is Emily. And together they just make this, the best.
It's the best. Dude, you're the best, too. This has been so much fun. Thank you so much.
Oh, my God, Chris, I'm so psyched we did this. Thanks so much.
Absolutely. And I know, like you said, you're not a giant sports guy, and I know you're coming in to play on Friday, September 7th. But, man, I'd love to have you on our morning show live if you decide you want to come in earlier. If you do get in the night before to Minneapolis on the 6th of September, please, we'll find a way. I'll follow you on Twitter or something like that. But we could do this morning.
I'll follow you back. I'd love it. If we can make it work, I'd love it.
Dude, enjoy the rest of tour. Good luck with the brand new record. I am so glad I got to finally talk to you.
Dude, you're the best. Thanks a lot, Chris.
Take care, man. Thank you.